Hi, I'm Frank Kudla.
And I'm Jan Kepler. And this is the Two Minds, One Journey podcast.
Your weekly stop to hear relatively ordinary people ramble, rant, discuss everything from arts and sciences to current affairs and politics.
We don't think of ourselves as controversial. I guess who does? But we do have opinions, not all of which will be warmly greeted universally, and not always that agree with each other.
That's the two minds. We've been in a common journey now for over two decades. It could be a need for self-validation or sheer hubris, but we thought we might have something to say and share. If we're lucky, something original will occasionally come through the mics.
And experience loses much of its value if it's not shared, so hang on.
That's good. Before we go any further, I want to address the question, why, without any broadcasting or podcasting experience and no background in journalism, would we try to launch a podcast? Well, I'll be the first to admit, and I think Jan would agree, we've gotten out in front of our skis on this one. We felt that the middle needed a voice. Today, so much is extremely polarized, with everything being black or white. There are extremists shouting at the top of their lungs, while there's a massive quiet majority in the center that sees shades of gray but lacks a voice. Hopefully we can be that voice. Okay, that's the noble reason we give for starting this adventure. The truth is that the genesis of Two Minds, One Journey is a simple discussion one evening about a week ago. Jan still works while I'm retired. At the end of the workday, Jan likes to sit and unwind before dinner, and I'm anxious to talk to anyone that'll listen. Business and politics are our primary topics. This night, the focus was on a certain controversial political figure. We have differing points of view on this person, but in talking, we realized we agreed on much more than we disagreed. Jan blurted out, we should have a podcast. What I heard was, you can buy podcasting equipment. I love tech gadgets. Without much thought, I was on Amazon buying books and podcasting, then on the B&H app buying microphones, headphones, adapters, and cables. We were committed, or as Jan said, we should be committed. Oh, and I do have to let Jan know this. I've been kind of keeping it quiet most of the day, but I got a little bit enthusiastic. It might have been irrational in my spending last night. I put a deposit down on a timeshare in Gaza.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, yeah. So we're back fresh from a trip to Trader Joe's this morning. Jan's idea was to go during the go on Super Bowl Sunday. That wouldn't be that busy. It'd be the one day we'd actually be able to get a parking space. And we actually did. We got a real Rockefeller right outside the front door, and the store was not particularly busy. We love Trader Joe's, and it was a good way to kick off the day.
Absolutely.
So I don't know if you want to dive in real deep right away or not, but I was thinking we'd talk a little bit about the topic that seems to be at the top of the news. I watched the Sunday morning news shows this morning, and everyone is talking about the voluntary deferred resignation. That's what it is. It's a deferred resignation where you get 8 months of pay if you stop working. And they offered it to most of the government employees. And apparently about 65,000 people have taken it. I wanted to ask Jan, because she's still working, if she had the opportunity to take such a deal, would she take a deal like that now? Or would you take a deal like that?
No, I actually wouldn't, because I want to work for longer than that. So, I mean, yeah, I would not accept that.
Yeah, well, my theory on this, too, is that it was a little bit ham-handed. Jan has a different opinion. Well, I should actually speak to Jan rather than just speaking to the audience. But I feel that the good people are the ones that took it, because they can easily get jobs, and they can double up on their salary for that 8 months. But I know you feel differently.
Yeah, I do. I mean, to me, it seems logically, I think if you were concerned that you would potentially be losing your job, you know, through the process that they're going through DOGE and all that stuff, that I'd definitely take the money and run, and at least you get like 8 months worth of severance. So it seems to me it's people who probably feel like they're not going to be around for the long term.
Yeah. Yeah. I still think they should have offered it in a selective or meritorious way. They should have offered it to the people that they wanted to get rid of, and not necessarily offer to the people that they should be keeping. Just offering it to everybody across the board, you run the risk of losing the guy that knows how to turn the lights on.
Well, yeah, I mean, and that's kind of my concern with the whole thing is just, it seems like it's more of a numbers game. Like, how many people can you get to, you know, accept this versus you have departments that are, some are more productive than others, some are more mission critical than others, and focusing that way. So it is rather haphazard.
Yeah, and I think everything else they're doing, they're kind of using a cleaver rather than a scalpel and assessing things first. Unless they did pre-assessments before he came into office, I don't think they would have had access to all that information, though.
You wouldn't, I don't know, you wouldn't think so.
No, I think they're just, like you said, it's just a game of numbers. They've set a percentage and said they're going to cut this much, and they're just cutting this much, whatever's
sticking out. And we'll find out how good or bad that is long term.
Yeah, I'm eager to find out whether one of our daughters works for the USDA, started about 8 or 9 months ago, so she's a relatively new employee. And so far she's been safe. Her department hasn't gotten the letter, but I'm a little bit worried about the cutbacks. I haven't heard them go after the USDA yet, but...
Well, at least she got in before they put the freeze on hiring, actually.
Yeah, I guess with the freeze on hiring, yeah, she'd have no... she would have had no opportunity to put her degree to use. Go.
The other thing that bothers me is it seems like everything is being labeled that they're getting rid of, or what, you know, they're doing for the sake of is that they're eliminating fraud. And in some cases, sure, there can be fraud, and I'm sure there is, you know, with different services and stuff. But it just seems like everything is being identified as fraud, which would be something, you know, that someone's doing intentionally, and not getting rid of redundancies or, you know, cutting out, you know, some of the fat that's in government. And I think if it wasn't labeled as fraud so much, it would be maybe less upsetting for some people, because it just seems like they're, you know, not necessarily doing something wrong. There's just redundancies.
Well, I think one of the things by calling it fraud you can do is then you can point a finger because somebody did something wrong. I could see there being fraud in Medicare or some fraud in Social Security. I'm sure there's a few people that do more than just bend the rules, but I don't think it's really that widely spread. I think there are things that we shouldn't spend money on that we do spend money on, but that's not fraud.
No.
That's just bad legislative decisions.
Right. And it's like this is making it more... you know,
more criminal.
Well, and good versus evil kind, yes, of thing. So I think it makes the maybe the folks going through it feel a little bit more virtuous, because they're weeding out fraud and that have been perpetrated on the American public, when that's not necessarily the case.
Yeah,
in all cases,
I think you're right. I think fraud is being spread around, to paint with a very, very broad brush, and. But we'll see how it turns out. I don't totally disagree with the direction that they're going in and where they want to get to. I do believe there is a lot of fat in government. I think when they get to the DOD, they'll find quite a bit. Although I'm conflicted about having Elon take a look at the DOD, because he's got billions of dollars of contracts with them for SpaceX and his satellite program. So I'm not sure if he's really the best watchdog to have. His checks will get cut first. And then everybody else gets paid.
Yeah, right. And then everybody else will get let go.
Yeah, yeah. So, I just have concerns about how they're doing it, because I just think it's being done really heavy-handedly.
Right, and very quickly. And it's, you know, obviously there was a lot of preparation, you know, before the inauguration and everything, especially, you know, you can tell by the executive orders the amount. It just kind of feels like throwing a bunch of, you know, against the wall, and they'll end up seeing what sticks. Or in some case, it could be, I think you even mentioned this earlier, it could be subterfuge, that they're trying to, you know, oh, look, shiny over here, doing certain things like USAID or USAID, while a lot of other stuff is happening. So it's... I have issues with the personalities, and I know you know that, and you don't necessarily. And it's not that I disagree with all the policies either. It just doesn't seem like there's a lot of oversight.
Yeah, no, it's it is. It is. It's a little bit concerning. Like I said, I don't disagree with the direction. I just am concerned about the methodology that's going into it and how they're doing it. But I guess we'll just have to. We'll just have to wait and see. It looks like a lot of this is going to come down to the courts. And they're sort of the, it seems like the legislative branch, Congress, has been neutered.
That's a nice way of putting it.
Yeah, neutered, a nice way.
Yeah, it's a nice way of putting
it. Yeah, well, they've been, yeah, that's what really has happened. And so the judicial branch is the only one that's really providing guardrails for this. And I know there's been a number of rulings at the lower court levels, mostly in liberal districts. I think that's where they filed most of these, the attorneys general filed most of the suits. But things have been put on hold, which until they review the information a little bit more deeply. But I think ultimately most of the stuff is going to end up in the hands of the Supreme Court, which of course was stacked when Trump was the 45th president of the United States. So, I mean, it almost seems like it was a master plan to me to get the judiciary lined up first time around, and then second time around, push the gray areas of the law. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist. It's just one of those things that just came to me.
But I mean, that makes sense because it's the three branches are executive, legislative, and judicial.
Yep.
So, yeah, legislative are a bunch of weenies, and executive is going 100 miles an hour, and then the judicial, I don't know. So, but whatever happens, at least things are going to change, and there are going to be things that get done, and I'm sure a lot of them are going to be good.
Yeah, I think there are going to be some good things. I think the declaration, or not the declaration, what is it, an executive order stopping males or biological males from participating in women's sports, I think that was a good thing. It seems like the NCAA has agreed with that and is taking steps. And, I mean, if there's some schools that still want to do that, that's fine. They're just not going to get federal funding. I think it's Title IX. So I think that's a good one. I was just wondering, with the number of executive orders that were written, who actually was signed? Who writes those things? I mean, they can't just be one page. I know he looks like he's signing just one page in the book.
Right, right.
That can't be the entire executive order.
Well, you'd hope not. I don't know. he uses like a big crayon or a Sharpie to sign them. So
yes, he does.
You know, maybe it is more than one page. But oh yeah, well, they clearly.
They were
prepared for this and had them written up almost as if there was a game plan book.
Yeah.
Wonder what that would have been.
Well, I do want to apologize for the sound. We haven't gotten our studio set up correctly. We'll invest a little bit more in some equipment if the GM permits it. But we'll get better at the the content might not get better. I think Jan said that. The content might not get better, but the sound will get better.
Yeah.
So our silly
So
opinions.
If you can put up with it the first time, hopefully it'll be more enjoyable the next time.
Yeah. So I think we've pissed enough people off for the day.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be back next week. I think we're going to be talking about AI. We have to do a little bit of research on it, but that's obviously the other hot topic. With Deep Search. Was it Deep Search? No, Deep Seek.
Deep Seek.
Deep Seek, yeah. It kind of upset the markets a week ago. But we'll have some thoughts on that next week. And in the meantime, have a great Valentine's Day. And I hope your team won the Super Bowl.